Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today, On Deadline is looking at what could be the worst domestic natural disaster in our nation's history. Fires have ravaged much of Los Angeles County, including celebrity mansions and iconic structures. It started as just a spark, but quickly turned into a roaring blaze that burned thousands of acres, 10,000 buildings, and caused the evacuation of more than 150,000 people. Families, rich and poor, have lost their homes, and people lost not only their most valuable physical assets, but also their memories, their photos, their keepsakes. From entrepreneurs to small business owners, people from all over the LA area have lost their livelihoods. Artists lost their work. Home businesses lost their infrastructures. Museums, government buildings, schools, animal shelters, and more have all been impacted. And this terrible disaster will also be the first test of the incoming presidential administration, with many noting that President-elect Donald Trump has already had numerous political battles with California Governor Gavin Newsom. And we're now wondering if he'll be using federal aid as a political weapon going forward. To learn more, we'll turn to Ryan Sabalow, a digital democracy reporter for CalMatters, who joined Odyssey in California.
Throughout his campaign, President-elect Trump repeatedly threatened to cut off disaster aid funding to California. Now, the country's second largest city is battling devastating circumstances just 10 days before Inauguration Day. Ryan, good to talk with you today. What do you make of the latest in this long saga between Donald Trump and Gavin Newsom?
Like you said, on the campaign trail, he's repeatedly said that he would potentially cut off funding for California following a major wildfire. And this latest beef has to do with the state's water supply. Trump alleges that Gavin Newsom hasn't sent enough water south, and he implied very strongly in a social media post that the reason fire hydrants down in L.A. have gone dry was because of that. Experts say that's a pretty big stretch in terms of what the state's water policies are. But it does raise this big specter of the possibility that Donald Trump would cut funding, disaster aid funding from California if this dispute keeps happening.
Trump has famously made threats against states that don't necessarily vote his way, California, New York, Illinois, other predominantly blue states. Do we really expect him to go so far as to cut off disaster aid to California while Los Angeles is in flames?
Well, I mean, a president can't slow down the process of approving aid or not declare disaster at all. A 2021 federal report found that Trump delayed $20 billion in disaster aid to Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria. He's threatened to do that. And this is a really big deal for states like California that do have these big catastrophic emergencies. You know, federal funds typically pay for around 75% of the cost of rebuilding public infrastructure, and that could be everything from roads to sewers to water systems, fire stations. And that would mean that California would have to come up with billions of dollars in additional money, you know, after fires like this. And the Newsom administration is preparing for this eventuality. They proposed some money, a pot of money to be able to help pay for that. But that's still these budget discussions are just kind of currently underway.
President Biden has pledged federal aid for Californians affected by the wildfires. Could Donald Trump when he takes office on the 20th, walk back what Biden has pledged?
I'm not that familiar with what he can do as far as the statutory, you know, limitations and things like that. But I do think it's worth noting that Trump has threatened to do this after the fires when he was president. He ended up not doing that, in particular because, you know, somebody pointed out to him, according to news reports, that, you know, a number of voters voted for him in those fires. And I think it's worth noting that in the disaster reclamation in this latest disaster funding proposal, you know, you had both Republican and Democrat senators and members of Congress urging President Biden to support this disaster funding for LA. And I think just kind of my read of things here is, you know, there are a lot of Trump voters in California. You know, we have some of the, it is known as being a Democratic state, but typically California, like I don't know the figures for this most recent election, but the previous election, you know, more Californians voted for Trump than in any other state, right? The issue was more of them voted for Biden, right? Because there's so many Californians. But Trump has been persuaded in the past to provide disaster fundings when people point out that, you know, a large number of Republicans in California do vote for Trump.
The fires are still burning, and firefighters are working to gain control of the blaze. But many people are wondering when life will go back to somewhat normal. For example, when can students go back to class? Because now, students and educators who not only lost their homes, also don't have places to learn. In Altadena, California, Bonnie Brimacombe is a principal of a school that burned to the ground. She joined Odyssey to tell us more about what's happened and what the future holds for her students.
This is an extremely tough time for everyone in your community. Have you been in contact with some of the parents and students that may have lost something or everything out of this?
Yes. Unfortunately, we have. We've heard a lot of devastating stories. Everyone's safe, though.
Good. So tell us about this community, about in your school and beyond, how badly they're being tested right now, and what you hope to see as these people try to pick up and rebuild their lives.
Oh, man, it's been so hard, right? We have gone through so much as a community in general. This is a really small school up in Altadena, and we have two campuses serving over 800 students. But schools in general, we've just come through COVID. We were able to find our way back up. We were able to support all of our students and get our test scores to some of the highest in the area. And then here we are heading into our winter break, enjoying our family time. And we had a beautiful community event as we headed out, where we were able to give service back to our community and raise money and a canned food drive and for the Pasadena Humane Society. And then we can't come back to school. Our kids wake up in the middle of the night and have to be evacuated.
Being a smaller school, you know, once the active fire situations get back under control, and then you got the process of rebuilding, those kids are going to be back in your small school. What kind of help are you able to offer those kids? They're going to need some mental health counseling. What kind of resources do you have?
So we're already a school that focuses on social emotional support. So we're fully ready to have our kids back. And we know how to support them through our counseling system, through our everyday lessons that our teachers teach on how to be in a community and how to cope with the emotions that we're feeling. So all we need is a place to be. We need a facility to put our kids and bring us all back face to face in person.
Principal Brimacombe, of course, over the last five or so years, schools all over the country were severely tested by the turn to remote schooling and all the challenges there. I would have to think it made everyone a bit tougher. And you were mentioning how maybe some of these experiences have shaped your ability to be resilient through all of this now.
Oh, yes. We are a very, very resilient community. We're a community that built a school out of nothing. So we are a group of parents and students and staff that decided that we wanted an alternative, and we went out and built it. And then we built it again online when COVID COVID hit, and then we actually just rebuilt the South Campus because we moved campuses 2 years ago. So this is a group of community members that we can do this. We can easily keep moving forward. We're a family and we're strong. We just need to find a way to be back face-to-face together because then we can accomplish anything.
And Bonnie, half the students in your school had their homes destroyed by the Eaton fire. How in the world do you wrap your head around that fact that half those students directly affected by the loss of their homes, all their belongings, their memories?
It's everything. They've lost everything. And usually what we can say is just come back to school. It's a safe, consistent place for you to be. And unfortunately, now they lost their home and they lost their school. So what we're trying to do is to get back face to face with them and at least provide that for them. Provide that safe, loving place where they can see all their familiar teachers, all their friends, and at least have that be present for them.
Many people have been providing donations to support those who have lost everything. And in the LA area, the community has gathered together to do everything from help displaced animals to making hundreds of meals for those in need. However, not everyone has good intentions. Now that there's a need for things like housing, some people are actually looking to take advantage. Actor Chad Lowe joined Odyssey in L.A. to raise a red flag on this disturbing twist amid the already harrowing chaos.
First, it's bad enough to go what you and so many others have gone through, but then also just this double whammy of the aftermath and people who want to prey on these unfortunate victims.
Yeah, and I wanted to make sure that the word was out to people that price gouging is illegal. So 10% above the asking price can be offered, but during a national declaration of a natural disaster or a national emergency, anything beyond that is considered price gouging. And what I can explain to you have run into. I have my wife and our three daughters who lost her home in the Palisades, and we have found multiple occasions where the listing price that's on the MLS is now bumped up by $3,000 to $4,000. And we've had also situations where there are 30 offers for a property, for a house or a condominium, and the owners are saying that they're saying to us, make your best offer. So I also want to assume the best of people. I'm going to assume that those people don't know what they're doing is illegal. But if you accept more than 10% above, you are breaking the law, and that is price gouging. And so if you are asking $2,000 for your home to rent, and you end up having somebody come in and say, I'll give you 10 because they're desperate, that's illegal. And I was just on the phone with our new DA, Mr. Hockman, and he's aware of this and is very concerned. He's been hearing many complaints and has vowed to get to the bottom of this and to be of assistance to the city and to the people. And I especially think of the people that are affected in the Altadena, Pasadena areas. You know, the West Side is a bubble, and many of us, if not all of us, obviously, many of us have the means to try to pick up the pieces and start over, but many people don't. And it's those people who I'm really heartbroken for that are being taken advantage of in their most desperate times of need. So let's assume people don't understand raising the price of what they're offering is illegal, and just educate them and let them know that they absolutely cannot do that to people right now.
Yeah, and Chad, we're talking about the price of homes, definitely, and the offers being made, but also the cost of just simple household goods as well. And then you know, contractors, the legal ones that are above board, they're overwhelmed. And so we see a flood of people coming in from all over, and we don't know who to trust. And some of them are charging outrageous prices for their services.
Yeah, and I have confidence after speaking with our new district attorney that he's going to be on top of this. And everybody, as you guys have been doing such a great job of reporting, is everybody needs to be aware of the scammers and people who are out to take advantage of us and so many of us that are in such a desperate situation. And again, I don't want to paint myself as a victim. We're going to be okay. We're heartbroken. We lost our home, but we're going to be okay. My heart and my thoughts and my actions are really for those who don't have the means and who won't be okay, to see them being taken advantage of. So we're going to spread the word. We're going to make sure people are educated. You guys do an incredible incredible job of that and let people know that what they're doing, if they're gouging, is illegal. And also let the people who might possibly fall victim to that be aware that what they're being offered by somebody is illegal, so they understand what their rights are. This is such a desperate time for all of us. We're all traumatized. We're all emotional. And so, you know, we're all vulnerable because of that.
With the fire still blazing, questions are mounting. What do we know about how the fires started? Why did they grow so overwhelming? So far, we know that a dry winter, low levels of water in area reservoirs, and strong Santa Ana winds are all contributing factors. And while an official cause for these wildfires hasn't been determined, there are theories. One of the latest theories points to an errant firework from New Year's Eve that may have smoldered, dormant, until it was whipped back into flames by winds. But no matter how it began, we know how it has to end, with people helping each other. Organizations across Southern California are seeking donations right now. The American Red Cross of Greater Los Angeles is providing shelter to wildfire victims and their families and pets. They're also providing food, water, health care, and more. You can help the efforts, too, by donating to the Red Cross right from your phone via text by messaging REDCROSS to 90999. There are many other resources for people looking to donate or to help out the cause as well. You can find a comprehensive list at knxnews.com/wildfires. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.